On the special Christmas episode of the ASC podcast with John Gailey, the staff of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies gathers for the winter retreat and discusses the takeaways from 2019, and we sing a special ambulatory surgery version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource their regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys.
Welcome to episode 79 of the ASC podcast with John Gailey for December 22nd, 2019, recording from our studio in Spencerport, New York. This is Sue Cronkite, senior nurse consultant with AHS, and I'm here with John Gailey. John is recognized as one of the nation's leading experts in all aspects of the ambulatory surgery industry. He is the author of the major books about the industry and the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, the industry leader in ASC regulatory and accreditation, governance, and quality improvement oversight. John speaks frequently at both national and state ASC meetings on a wide variety of topics.
So, good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
We're recording in our pajamas down here. I don't know. Is that too much information for our listeners?
More than between that and the song later, they're just they will have had enough of us.
And I'm heading out soon to bake Christmas cookies with my sister and my children. You're going to be working on making sure the house is presentable. The holiday party is coming up.
So we're going to have a full day tomorrow. We're heading off to see one of our clients. It's going to be a long day.
Trip.
It's sort of a day trip to Ohio.
But to that end, we just finished our winter retreat here. And it was a great time. First of all, we always combine our Christmas party with, you know, our winter get-together here. And I think we should point out that even though we refer to this as Christmas, we are, of course, celebrating the holidays, no matter what your religion is or what you're celebrating this time
whatever
of year.
We
do respect all of that. But
whatever you are celebrating, we're hoping you have a wonderful one.
That's right. And as part of our winter retreat, we get together, on an annual basis to, kind of analyze the year in review and kind of get ready for the next year. It's also a good opportunity to reconnect with our staff. Mm-hmm. One of our employees was out on disability, Jenna, and the retreat was her first time back. Yep. And then we welcomed a new employee of ours, Darcy, who...
You and Judy have known her for quite a while, I just met her, so that was fun to get to know her.
It was a lot of fun, and you also handed out some gifts. My favorite gift, though, was the one you gave Darcy. Can you tell the audience what it said?
I think I gave her and Zach similar things, right? Said, you don't have to be crazy to work here. We have a great training program,
<That's right. laughs> I think her said.
And that was a notebook, and then I gave Zach basically the same thing, but in a mug because, you know. It's we'll make you crazy
That's
if you don't start off that way.
A big part of our winter retreat was also doing some additional training. One of the hot topics this last year has been credentialing and radiology. So I gave a section and we had a long conversation about how we credential in kind of more advanced topics and credentialing within our staff because the expertise is kind of specialized in a few of our employees, and we're trying to make sure all of our employees really truly understand this. I think that's one of those areas that we've been really beefing up with all of our services, with all of our clients, is because it is one of those areas that is being cited quite heavily. And then radiology, Judy, later on in this episode, is going to talk a little bit about some of the things going on in radiology. And I think we did say that we're going to have an episode about radiology soon.
Yeah.
One of the things we also talk about during our winter retreat, actually both of our retreats, is the various changes that we are implementing, particularly in our forms, our policies, and our quality improvement program in 2020. We're always trying to improve our products, we believe in the KISS principle, which is keep it simple, et cetera. You know, so we've looked at all of our forms and our policies and trying to find ways to simplify and yet make sure our programs are fully compliant with the regulatory requirements. So
yeah, it's always a whole job trying to keep up with all the changes in the regulations.
Right. That's right. And then after the retreat, we brought the staff together to talk in front of the microphones about the year in review. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we did a video of it. I noticed that you're very quiet about that.
I am just hoping it disappears. Or, you know.
So we did a video. I don't, you know, I know about audio equipment. I don't know much about video. So I'm going to try to figure out how to post it, if it, at the very least, on our website. We're not going to edit it. We'll just probably put it up there raw for people to enjoy. So you get to see our staff and our wonderful studio here and raw footage of what it takes to put together an episode of the ASC podcast here.
And we also played some games, which a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, it's not as educational, but it's really helpful with bonding with each other and just getting to know a little bit more about each other. We did, some Christmas trivia, which was just fun. And then we did two truths and a lie, where everybody had to state three facts about themselves, but, you know, two were true. I keep getting this wrong.
Yeah, because you got it wrong when we asked you the question.
I'm the one who did the game.
That's right.
Is it two truths and a lie?
It's two truths and a lie, but you did two lies and a truth, which really threw us off.
I'm just an habitual liar. I can't help it. But it's kind of fun because a lot of us know each other so well, obviously, John and I, and then, you know, a lot of family. Yeah. But you can still trick people.
That's right. Even my daughter tricked me. And, of course, I've known her since she was born. So that was kind of a...
But then you get to hear the stories of something seems outlandish and you can't think it can't be true. And then you find out it is. You get to hear all these interesting stories about people.
And it's a good icebreaker in your organization if you ever want to. You know, it doesn't take long to do it either. And it was a lot of fun. So, and then we ended with a special ambulatory surgery version of the 12 Days of Christmas, which I think will go viral. That's why I did the video.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it'll go viral.
And that is credit to Judy.
That's right, Judy.
She wrote it.
D'Ambrosio wrote it. We will post the words for you and your staff to enjoy also. So I kind of suspect we'll probably see some YouTube videos of various surgery centers singing the song.
Send them to us.
We had a lot of fun with this episode. So this is going to be a very, relatively short episode. And we're going to go right from here to that interview and then wish you, happy holidays here. And we will get back to our regular programming just after the holidays. But thank you so much for listening to the ASC podcast with John Galey. And we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back with this special get together of the staff of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies to talk about the year in review. So this is John Galey and Sue Cronkite here. We're here at the 2019 retreat, and we have a lot of people here. This is a crowded studio here. So I'm just going to go around the room and have everybody introduce themselves. And what we're going to talk about today is just kind of some thoughts about the year and how things have progressed this last year. Alex, why don't you start?
I'm Alex Borneman, Director of Operations here at AHS, and I also specialize in life safety and emergency preparedness.
I'm Jenna Alvarez, Senior Nurse Consultant and the Startup Specialist, I guess.
I'm Zach Kalaritis, Consultant with AHS.
I'm Darcy McCloy, Administrative Assistant with AHS.
I'm Judy D'Ambrosio, Senior Consultant with AHS, also the Director of Education.
And, of course, John Galey here, owner and...
And Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant.
So this is the time of year. We just, just finished our annual winter retreat. And we just thought we would sit around the microphones here in this beautiful new studio with enough microphones that everybody has their own microphone.
We may have dragged a couple of you kicking and screaming, but we've got you all here.
they are true. And Darcy, of course, is raising her hand because she's the newest employee. And she's afraid that we're going to embarrass her. But we're all going to be very nice to her, right?
Well, we will embarrass it.
So I thought as we end the year, as we move into the next year, we would talk a little bit about, you know, just some takeaways from the year. It's been quite a year for Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. We've grown considerably. We're now up to 14 employees, Darcy being our newest one. I think about a week now, Darcy?
A couple weeks.
Yeah, and Darcy is one of our part-timers. She actually works for one of our clients as her full-time job. So we have 6 full-time employees, and really everybody else is either a 1099 or we also have a lot of per diem people, such as Darcy. So, Alex, I thought I'd have you kick it off here and talk a little bit about some of the takeaways, especially on the life safety side.
Sure. One thing that's really come up this year is largely a part of a lot of the surveys that we've come across is the importance of hiring good contractors.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about contractors, especially when it comes to life safety items, the importance is to make sure that they are competent, and when they're fixing items for you, that they're fixing them properly. Because if they don't, then the surveyors could come back and cite you yet again. And that really escalates things and loses your...
Can you lose your credibility? And I think with life safety stuff, at least for me, it's not stuff that I can just look at. Whereas a lot of things, you can fix them and you can just know common sense-wise, or you can follow what the surveyor said to fix. With the life safety, they really have to be an expert, unless you're going to crawl up in the ceiling or all of that. So I think it's a good point.
Exactly. And a lot of places hire, mom-and-pop shops to do their contracting, which, if they're trustworthy and they know what they're doing, they can be fine. But really, vetting them is important up front.
Right. And double-checking their work afterwards. Just don't assume that everything is right. You should be looking at it. And if you have any questions, obviously, you should be using people that have a license, if there's a license in that particular specialty. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen some issues this year with kind of shoddy work being done that had to be corrected later. So that's a very good point, Alex.
Yep. And specifically, we're talking in terms of, your firewall and maintaining the doors in your center. In addition, doing the ongoing checks, inspections of your different systems, and making sure those are done on the proper basis, whether that be quarterly, annual, monthly, daily, whatever it is.
Jenna, welcome back, by the way. Jenna's been on disability and for the last couple weeks, and today's your first day back. So welcome back. We've all missed you.
Welcome back, Jen.
Thank you.
So while Jenna was gone, all of us had to take on some extra burdens here, and we really are grateful. And I know our clients are very grateful to have you back. So welcome back. And what's been your takeaway? You've had a pretty easy year. I mean, really nothing going on. Startups are so easy. There's never any issues. So I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Well, like he said, I have quite a few startups going on. One finally opened, so that was
while she was on disability.
While I was out. Well, no,
timing.
They opened before I went out, but they had their survey and passed, thankfully, while I was out. So
yeah, we didn't screw things up on
you. And I have a couple more that are going to get there. But as anyone who's started a surgery center probably knows, it is never on the timeline that you initially think. So if you have a date that your contractors tell you you're going to be ready to start, I would add about 3 to 6 months to that.
So Jenna, let's use a statistic. Out of the 5 startups that we have, how many started on time? Just give me a rough number.
That would be zero. One was delayed only by 2 months.
Yeah, that was the closest.
But that was about the shortest of my startups. Yeah. And the other thing is that we've been learning with all of our startups, especially when we've come into projects after they've already started construction, is it's actually a good idea to have a life safety surveyor come in before the building is done, because they, at least in 2 or 3 cases, have found things that needed to be fixed prior to survey. So,
right.
And major items. Too.
Major.
Yeah. Not little things.
Yeah.
Well, and I tell the story with the client you're referring to that when they hired me, even before they hired me, I walked in, and within 5 minutes, I cost them $250,000 because the whole setup was wrong. There was the sterile corridor was in the wrong place, and they had to move literally half the surgery center 3 feet to the west. Mm-hmm. So it really, as you said, Jenna, the money that you spend for a good life safety surveyor, we have them, of course, is well worth it in the very beginning.
And also, like Alex said, good contractors also make a difference
when
you're building a hiring people who have built surgery centers before.
Right.
Is important.
That's right. And that has been a major issue in this past year is that I think, you know, a lot of times physicians hire people that they've known. Maybe they built their home. I don't know. But they're not hiring people that have a lot of expertise in the ASC area. So that's a very good point.
It's important to think about, too, with contractors, whether it be engineers, architects, or just regulatory consultants, each of those sets of people have different specialties that they're focusing on, whether that be state regulations, federal. I've seen architects that are building to the international codes rather than NFPA, which, of course, in ASCs, we need to build to NFPA and FGI.
And I think that's an important thing to note here, too, is that this isn't just relevant for people building new surgery centers, but if you're expanding or even if you're just adding something. We have a client right now that is putting a new doorway into the linen closet, and that's a major project that requires, you know, some work that is going to be governed under FGI. So you have to be very careful to make sure the construction is done properly. And by the way, Jenna, what do you have to do anytime you have any construction project in a surgery center?
A risk assessment.
That's right.
And also, under the new HHC guidelines, all of your employees need to be able to tell the surveyors. Well, at least your administration needs to be able to tell the surveyors that that's what they're going to do during construction. They need to be able to verbalize that they know the proper process during construction.
Correct. So risk assessments are another big thing right now. We've done a couple episodes where we've talked about risk assessments. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, please do. Any center, startups or ongoing centers are going to have to do certain risk assessments as they go along. Any other takeaways, Jen? Okay. No problem.
I think we all have a takeaway that once we help take over some of Jenna's clients, we realize just how busy she is trying to open up these places.
I guess that is, there are so many moving parts that especially quite a few of my clients have come from an office-based setting to a surgery center, and it's different, and adapting is not always easy.
Right.
And just all of the things, in addition to getting all of the construction done and watching over that, all the administrative stuff and the staffing and the training and the policy work, there's a lot of moving parts that are all going on at the same time. And honestly, with the construction delays, it is nice because it gives the nurse manager and the administrator, and I mean, it's not nice because you're losing money with when you're not opening, but it does give you a little bit of extra time that you probably actually are going to need on the administrative side as well to get ready to open, that you don't necessarily always know you're going to need at the beginning, because things take more time always than you are expecting.
And there's a number of choke points too with the construction schedule, including things that we found with like 855B and approved procedure lists, things that you just really can't move forward without.
Right. And make sure you work very closely with the accrediting organizations to make sure all of the, you know, that everything is ready for you to push the button when everything is done. So work very closely with them as the construction is underway. Zach, now you're coming up on 1 year with us. So I'm sure you're going to have some great thoughts. What's your takeaway from this year?
Well, I guess in my first year with the company and even in the industry, I guess my biggest takeaway would be I'm thankful to be around people who are able to share knowledge with me and help me learn a lot about the industry. I've been fortunate enough to go to a couple conferences and just really learn more about the industry. And I'm thankful for the opportunities I've had and for what's to come.
And thank you for being our youngest employee here. But it's a lot to learn, isn't it? In the amount of time that you've been with us. And of course, you're just starting to pick up clients now as we bring you on board, doing more individual work. A lot of your work has actually been in the finance area.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we probably should mention is that as we move into the new year, we are going to be moving into a little bit more finance than we've done before, perhaps adding to our service mix, you know, some of the services that we actually offered in our beginning years and kind of backed off on as the regulatory area got kind of big. So Alex and Zach, who have a finance background, will be involved in that. So if your organization needs, you know, monthly, quarterly, annual financial statements, that's another area that we're getting into. And Zach and Alex are going to be very much involved in that. So you're going to be able to use that section of your degree. Actually, Zach, you have a double major, don't you?
Double major, yeah. Business management and finance.
That's right. So we're definitely going to be using that much more so than Alex's international, you know, management degree, you know. And
hey, I mean, I speak German. That helps in the ASC world, right? Lots of patients that speak German.
Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, exactly. How many clients do we have that German speaking? What's that number again? Just give me a rough estimate.
Zero.
I'm going to put poor Darcy on the spot here. So Darcy is our newest employee about a couple weeks, as you said. She's an administrative assistant working with us here, and she's been with us for 2 days kind of getting the ropes. And so Darcy, you actually work for one of our clients, and the reason I really want to put you on this kicking and screaming is because you came from the hospital environment. So I think it's always interesting to talk a little bit about what did you find shocking? What did you find interesting as you transitioned from a hospital environment to the ambulatory environment?
Hospital environment definitely is way more political.
Yeah.
More hands trying to stir the pot. And you get into the ASC side of life and it settles down more.
Right.
You have patients walking in that don't have that huge look of fear that walked into a 6-story hospital or a 3-story hospital. They're walking into a smaller environment and they're definitely getting more one-on-one care than they ever would in a hospital. You've got someone in pre-post-op that's got one nurse that's taking care of 4 patients. Typically, you're going to be one-on-one when you're in an ASC center, and that the care is totally different. You've got organizations like AHS that you can reach out to at any time and get answers and get help, a phone call, email, or in person. They're there. Right. And you don't always have that support through a hospital at all.
And that was a paid advertisement. Thank you very much.
It's true. So I think that the comfort of the patient level, which is always one of our goals, and even keeping the doctors happier is a lot easier in a smaller setting, and it just goes much smoother.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, we can never forget, you know, our mission and everything that we do in ambulatory is geared toward improving the patient experience and improving the physician experience. And we should never forget that hospitals are great for what they have to do, but they obviously have a much higher level of care that's expected in that environment. And here we are trying to take care of those patients that don't need to be in a higher risk environment, or, you know, who wants to go to a hospital? Who wants to take that risk of getting an infection, for example, when you don't need it? And that's what ASCs exist.
And they succeed.
Okay, Judy, you're always very shy and don't really have much to say. So what's your big takeaway? This has been an extremely busy year for you, too.
Yeah, I had a few startups of my own that I couldn't have said what Jenna went through, you know, any better. Always allow yourself just about twice as much time as you really thought you were going to need. And there are just so many moving parts. That was a hell of an experience for me doing that. But beyond that, I found really interesting about this year, and it started early in the spring when I found out that New York State especially was really cracking down on radiation safety. We had one center out here in Western New York that had a survey, a radiation survey, and we are in proximity. I drove out there to be with them. And I was speaking to the surveyor, a pleasant young girl, who explained that New York State had hired, you know, up to 100 new surveyors because they were so far behind in the books, and that people would be held to a higher standard, that they were going to be visited more often and their safety plans more regulated. And she couldn't have been more right. You know, we've had this come up quite a bit this year, far more so than any of the years before. So I was able to go back to my previous life, you know, where I worked in radiology before I was here with John. And I've really been able to help clients make sure that their quality improvement plan for radiation is up to date and working well, that documentation they need is there, And I know this is daunting for some centers because it really hasn't been part of what we've offered before. And sometimes something that gets sort of thrown by the wayside or just, you know, a forgotten aspect. So if you're in a position where you want to make sure that your radiology program is up to date, please reach out because we're here to help you. We'll make sure that if DOH does decide to come knock on your door unexpectedly, we'll be able to get you through that. Because, we were forced by fire to learn a lot about that this year.
Yeah, it's never really been part of our service offering, but for all of our clients that are listening, it's one of those things we'll be rolling out for all of our clients that use, C-arms or other types of x-rays in their operation over the next year. And we will be doing a special episode. We're still, we are way behind in our episodes right now. We got still a bunch of interviews that we have backed up from the last couple conferences that we attended, as well as just some material that we just know we have to get out there. But we're going to have to talk about radiation safety.
Yeah, I'd like to reach out to as many as possible, before DOH shows up.
Right.
I'd like to give them that opportunity. Yeah.
Sue, what's your takeaway from this year?
A lot of what everybody was talking about, the different surveys. I know there have been a couple of articles that have come out, which we won't get into a lot, but talking about the ASCs not being highly regulated, yeah. But, there's HHHC, there's New York State, there's, the tissue banks.
Yeah. Right.
Yep, the radiology checks. I mean, there's so many different aspects. It seems like over the last few months, it's been one after the other in our center. So learning how to do the plan of corrections and helping them with the plan of corrections and all that type of thing. It really brings to point how well-regulated it is and how everybody really works to make sure that standard of care is really great.
I think it's fair to say that, does anybody around the table feel that we live in an under-regulated industry?
No. Nope. And what is the number of people who believe that? Right. Number at zero.
That seems to be our running joke today.
That's right.
Zero.
So that does bring up an interesting topic, which we talk about a lot here, is that, when I got in the industry 30 years ago, I did feel like I could wrap my arms around the regulatory side. I could wrap my arms around the financial side. And I'm not sure that anybody running a surgery center today and still being able to make sure operationally everything is working well can do that. I mean, yeah. I think that's why organizations like ours exist. So I think it just brings up the importance of having at your fingertips, resources, whether, it's books or knowing where the websites are or of course, having a resource such as Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies that you can call on or the podcast. I mean, I think, we've heard a lot of good feedback this last year about mm-hmm. the podcast and how important it is, for those listeners that, want to stay on top of things. So,
and as we've said a lot of times, the state associations.
Right.
Going to those conferences, meeting people, networking, there's always support in this industry.
Yeah, it's easy to feel like you're isolated. And I think that's one thing that we find so often. We go into a new center. Alex and I were out this last week with a new client in the New York metropolitan area. And, we really felt bad for the people that are there. A lot of turnover recently, and suddenly they are, they're confronted with having to do everything. And recognizing that they could, call upon resources was very important to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I feel like a lot of people in our industry don't realize that because so many come from the hospitals where you can just look at a different department for support. But in the ASC industry, our support is our other centers, consultants, and all of these bodies, state associations, national associations that are all there to help you.
Right. Policies and procedures we all share, willingly across the organizations. I can't imagine anybody ever copywriting policies and procedures since we've pretty much stolen them all from other organizations over the years. I don't even know where some of our policies came from, and they've probably been modified so many times that you couldn't even recognize them from their initial source.
By the same token, we like to give our policies out.
Yeah, that's right.
For free.
And to that end, we do post various policies on our patron, for our patron members here. So don't hesitate to, first of all, think about joining as a patron member, but recognize that database is growing as we go along. So does anybody have any New Year's resolutions?
Don't believe me.
I hear it's only $10 in my town to join the gym. So that's that's one of the things I'm looking
at. Resolution is to join the gym.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so. The new rec center that was just built here in Henrietta.
So. Okay. We will hold you to that
when classic,
we
come to right? Get,
yeah, that's right. That's right. See how long that lasts.
Yeah. Talk to me January 5th.
Oh, you're not giving yourself long enough. 5 days.
5 days. And Judy's resolution probably involves baking.
Probably. Yeah, I'm working on my keto recipes. You know, I have a table here now full of guinea pigs. Okay, try this. See what I can change. So as they help me hone in on my baking skills, I'll probably.
Very happy and willing guinea pig.
That's right. That's right. Nobody suffered through that. And actually, I don't even feel guilty with the stuff that I ate today when you told me how low in carbs they were.
We did pretty well from a keto point of view.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you're calling us guinea pigs?
Well, thank you, everybody. It has really been an incredible year. I just want to publicly, state what a pleasure it is to work with such a dedicated team of people. And, it's been a bang up year for us here at Amateur Healthcare Strategies and certainly on the podcast. Now, I guess we have a special treat for our listeners, correct?
We're not sure it will be a treat.
We're not sure it's a treat.
Well, I do have control over the board here and the microphone. So if it doesn't sound good, I guess we can. So our resident musician, a resident musician has written a little song.
Yeah, but I ain't singing it by myself.
And I believe this is partially by request.
Yes.
At least the skit portion.
Yes, actually, that's true. We did have a listener of ours comment that they would like us to go back to having some of the skits. And those of you that have been listening since the first couple episodes know that we used to do skits. So we are going to be adding some skits over the next couple months.
And we want to remind people, so please let us know what you like, what you don't like, because we're always willing to tweak things as we go along.
And again, what is that address, everyone? It is comments@ascpodcast.com. So here's our treat for you from the studio here in Spencerport, New York, the AHS choir. And here we go.
Someone's got a key.
On a certain key. On the first day of my survey, my center gave to me a patient with MRSA. On the second day of survey, my center gave to me two misplaced charts and a patient with MRSA. On the third day of survey, my center gave to me three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the fourth day of survey, my center gave to me four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the fifth day of survey, my center gave to me five unwashed hands, four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the sixth day of survey, my center gave to me six souls of beeping, five unwashed hands, four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the seventh day of survey, my center gave to me seven cell phones ringing, six souls of beeping, five unwashed hands, four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the eighth day of survey, my center gave to me eight nurses quitting, seven cell phones ringing, six souls of beeping, five unwashed hands, four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the ninth day of survey, my center gave to me nine patients puking, eight nurses quitting, seven cell phones ringing, six souls of beeping, five unwashed hands,
Four grievances, three patient falls, two misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the 10th day of survey, my center gave to me 10 doctors screaming, 9 patients puking, 8 nurses quitting, 7 cell phones ringing, 6 souls a beeping, 5 unwashed hands. 4 grievances, 3 patient falls, 2 misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA. On the 11th day of survey, my center gave to me 11 IVs blowing, 10 doctors screaming, 9 patients puking, 8 nurses quitting, 7 cell phones ringing, 6 souls a beeping, 5 unwashed hands. 4 grievances, 3 patient falls, 2 misplaced hearts, and a patient with MRSA. On the 12th day of survey, my center gave to me 12 no-show patients, 11 IVs blowing, 10 doctors screaming, 9 patients puking, 8 nurses quitting, 7 cell phones ringing, 6 Zolza beeping, 5 unwashed hands. 4 grievances, 3 patient falls, 2 misplaced charts, and a patient with MRSA.
Wow. Merry Christmas from Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, All Rights Reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including the Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.